Blog Talk Radio.
The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. We are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. A system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do.
Black, you can't let it go to the judges.
Hey, welcome to Stir It Up. I know we have the commission. Kathleen, how are you doing?
I'm good, Rome. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. You know, I'm good and calm right now before we get a chance to stir it up. So, technically, I am okay. I think I'm going to need a drink. I mean, and that is of, like, spring water. I need something.
That kind of drink. That, but I said, I know you only drink pure stuff, so get you some water.
This is going to be spring water today.
So you can spike it up a little bit.
No, it's at least alkaline based, so it's still got, it's pretty high alkaline, so it's not acid, it's not bad. I'm still going, you know, go for the healthier route. So it's good spring
good.
Water. Alright, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's
yeah,
good.
We just, I'm good tonight. Happy.
You happy?
I am. I'm happy. We're getting closer, and shortly all this will be a distant, you know, just a very distant, oh, my God, was that a nightmare? That's what I'm hoping. I'm going to wake up.
Oh.
And it's just going to be like, oh, no, he's gone.
No. See, I thought you were happy because it was like getting close to Thanksgiving. Like, I just didn't have a – I didn't know it was political related. Huh?
Yeah, that too, though. That too.
Okay,
my
cool.
sister and I made, you know, Ronnie and I made plans for Thanksgiving dinner, which means I'm going to be able to convince her to make some of her famous macaroni and cheese. And I'm going to try and get her to make some beef tip ribs. And I want you to know I'm a vegetarian, right? I don't eat meat.
Uh-huh.
But she makes beef tip ribs, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of food, I have a friend, and I want to say hey to Michelle Bullock. If Michelle is listening in New Orleans, she's a reporter in New Orleans, but she posted an article. I guess this came from, I didn't know Neiman Marcus as a catalog sent out options in getting food. You know how you send out a catalog and say you can order this, this, this. Neiman Marcus is selling like a platter of collard greens for $66. And I'm like, what? It was hilarious. And she posted that, and it came from her paper because it was like, what are you putting in a catalog? It's like saying you can order your holiday meal from a clothing store. So Neiman Marcus has collard greens for $66. And I'm thinking, just like the stock market and oil prices, every soul food restaurant menu is going to go off the charts. Because technically, you can't. Yeah, $66 for some greens. And for you guys who are not bilingual enough, that would be collard greens if you didn't know. Which is
yeah. And I'm wondering who's making the greens, though, you know? Because
right.
All kinds of wrong.
Well, no, but here's the beauty of that. If those greens are $66, I know, like, what macaroni and cheese is going to bring in. Like, you know, speaking of Ronnie and macaroni and cheese, like, I know the dressing is going to be, like, well, about $80. Like, Yeah.
Listen, easy.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking of all sorts of prices for a nice soul food dinner. You're going to have, like, for yams, that's, they got that on sale, so that's going to be, like, $52. Like, it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Who sells collard greens for $66?
And speaking of food now, and I know that, no, I said speaking of food, and I know this wasn't on our agenda, but just because Sean just happened to go to Walmart the other day, and so you know what he bought? You know what he bought home?
No.
A patty pie.
Oh gosh. What was it? What kind of patty pie? Was it the sweet potato or the
yes.
She had a couple of peach cobbler, apple pie, that kind of stuff. You bought a sweet potato pie.
No, it was a sweet potato pie. The one that guy sang that in the video? Yes, that one.
Yes.
She bought that one. And as soon as we bit into it, we start singing.
Oh, God. If you don't know me by now, you like it.
Is that good? Is that good? It is.
Was it good? I mean, I bought one when they first came out, actually. The funny thing is before that went viral, and I remember seeing some people comment on it because it was, I put it in the oven, you know, because you know how we do. And I had to put a little bit more cinnamon and stuff on it, but that was just me. Like, I had to have my sweet potato pie taste. It couldn't be light skin. Where's Loki? You know, if Loki comes on in a minute, we got to talk about this. We just talked about this in cooking because Loki is a great cook, by the way. He's thinking about opening up a catering business. He and his family, his mom, they catered stuff all the time. He is a great cook.
Okay.
And we were just talking about this.
What state is he in? Because I'm
in the
move.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the move.
Yeah, there you go.
Business, but that's it. I'm packed.
He said, I said to him, don't you remember that, well, I was telling him the story about someone asking me about, you know, making a sweet potato pie, and I was always around my aunt who made pies and stuff. So when I was little, just kind of as a little kid, so I learned how to cook just from being around her. And folks from Louisiana don't measure either. So I just want to say that for the record. And so when I walked in the kitchen, it was like, taste this pie. And I said, it doesn't have enough whatever in it. And they said, how do you know? I said, you can look at it. And low-key said, that's how my mother taught me how to cook. She was like, look at that. Does that consistency look like? He was like, no.
Right.
We learn to cook by look. If it don't look
right,
it can't taste right. So when I saw the patty pie, that's what I remembered. I was like, okay, that's a little light-skinned. And I don't mess with light-skinned pie. I'm sorry. I digress. That was just me.
That's
how
so
we do.
Funny. It is a little light-skinned. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
So I'm going to tell you how to hook it up. So just put a little you don't really have to go with the nutmeg, but you're going to need a little bit more cinnamon. It should have a little bit more dark specks in it than that pie does.
Okay.
But it actually is good.
It is very good. And I didn't really have a problem until now that you just said that. I'm like, oh, you know, it is a little light. Because when I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's a little light.
I love Patty, but Patty is a little bilingual, so she might be trying to, you know, help out everybody else. And by the way, the guy who sang that song is a cousin of a friend of mine. You know, there's like a good 6 degree of separation with me, isn't it, today? If you're listening, sometimes she calls and listens to the show. She's also from Louisiana. He's from Louisiana, but I think he lives in California. So that 6 degree of separation thingy is really true when it comes down to it. But, yeah, you know somebody who knows somebody who is related to him. Like, so that's how that goes. So, you know, we can get him on the show.
Oh yeah, we gotta get him on the show. That we Sean and I, while we were eating our first slices of patty pie, pulled up the video.
So we could laugh again
and sing with him as he was doing his thing on the video. That was priceless.
Yeah, and Patty said he really can sing. I think his cousin told me that, too, anyway. But, yeah, it's like he does actually, you know, because some people can hit notes and can't sing. I think he can actually sing. So,
he was singing. He was going down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't watch the video as thoroughly as I thought. No, you're like, he was singing.
Oh, yeah. He was singing, okay. As we said.
Okay, and it wasn't the peach cobbler, it was the sweet potato pie. It's the patty
pie. Don't get it wrong. Sweet potato pie, everybody. Sweet potato patty.
Now, I don't know if you're going to sing with the cobblers. I don't know nothing about that. But how much were they?
$3.50.
Do you remember? They were how much?
$3.50.
Oh, that's hilarious. I couldn't remember how much it was, but that is a cheap pie. Okay. Well, that's why it's missing a couple ingredients, but I'm not going to go through that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I know. And that's why I told...
Skip your wages.
I told...
You did what?
I told Sean why he... Because he came home with this, too. He bought one for a friend of his and one for me. And so I was like, and you only bought one? Why didn't you buy like, and he took a picture of the table. It had like about, you know, a couple of, maybe 100 pies on the table in Walmart. So I was asking him, well, why didn't you buy like 20 of them? If they were $3.50, we could go outside and sell them because you know they're going to be gone by next week.
You can sell them like, now, I don't know how much bean pies cost. I think they're around $5 to $7, but I'm sure you could sell them on the street. Like, that's kind of the going rate of a pie. They ain't as good as bean pies. I don't want to go through that, but still, you could have made a business out of it.
Sell them. I'm like, yeah, we could, on Thanksgiving, we'd be able to sell those things for $10.
Right. You're like, you don't have to make it to Walmart. We got them for $10 over here. That's perfectly legal. You don't have to worry about that. The market was your gas money to go get the pies. And your, and you delivery. That's your, you sell it for $3, but then there's $2 for gas and $5 for delivery. $10. See how that goes? You didn't even have to mark up the pies for that.
That's so funny. All right. He's like, you are.
I know. See, look at me getting sidetracked for the first doggone 20 minutes of the show. It's like, that is a whole another thing we didn't even plan on talking about. Okay, so where do you want to go first? Do you want to go? I'm going to let you take the reins on this, Kathleen. Where are we going first?
You sure? You want me to choose first?
Yep,
okay, so
it's your show.
First, all right, if I'm going to choose first, I want to go straight to Donna Brazile, and I want to find out what the heck happened with Donna Brazile. Now, what I saw online is that it was CNN that fired her, but they're saying that WikiLeaks got a hold of some emails that showed that she forwarded debate questions to Hillary Clinton prior to the debate, of course, and gave her some lead on the woman that, like one of the emails said, a woman with a rash is going to ask a question about the water in Flint and what she would do about that. And then there was another question. And so they said that those were in the emails that were hacked by WikiLeaks. And CNN just went straight for it, took it that it was true, and fired her.
Right. She was actually a paid correspondent for CNN. But here's the thing about that. Okay, so what they do, and again, she's a party person. She was Al Gore's campaign manager. So she actually ran a major presidential campaign before. And they're all Hillary people. So we want to talk about Donna Brazile or James Carville, and gosh, all of the Donald Trump people who are on CNN. I can't imagine with the paid, who's that guy, Lou Lewandowski or something? That guy is still paid by the Trump campaign, and he works for CNN. They still have to pay him severance because he was Trump's campaign manager. So to single out just because of the WikiLeaks, that she, Donna Brazil said, yes, when you go through, you send stuff to candidates saying, hey, you know, what do you think about this, when they're doing debate prep. So she sent them some questions. So whether she knew in advance what the questions were is suspect. And you can't really trust WikiLeaks anyway, because they could doctor those things too. So,
exactly.
So you don't.
That's the problem I had.
Yeah, so you don't know if that's something that she said or she made reference to a question. They dump them however they've been doing to kind of put doubt on folks. Now, again, you have lion-ass Brian Williams on MSNBC because they hired him after he was lying. Then you bring back the Trump dude after his racist stuff. They hire him at CNN. And they keep putting these flawed people in front of us like they didn't have any flaws before. But every time somebody black does one thing that could look like a suspect, they fire them. Right? Billy Bush. As soon as the Donald Trump tape came out, ABC Dancing with Cigars called him the same day. He wasn't even gone yet. They asked him to go on Dancing with the Stars. Paula Deen, bring her on. Ryan Lochte, bring him on. They normalize white folks with all of these bad character flaws, but if a black person even whispers something that may look suspect, now their ethics come up. You know, like, we want to make sure we're doing the right thing, blah, 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 blah. So I have no respect for none of those guys, and they're giving Donna Brazil a raw deal because it ain't like she was taking the daggone SATs. You know what I mean? That she gave her, they were questions. So what made that question anything more to prepare for than any other question? And so
it's terrible.
Anyway, it wasn't unethical. She didn't. And now, if she would have got the sheet of questions and would have sent them all to her, that would be one thing. She probably asked her some questions, and then one of them happened to be one of the ones that was going to be asked by this particular person. Then you could just say, oh, well, that was a good guess by Donna, but pretty much they probably had a bunch of questions that were submitted. So she said, you probably need to be on the lookout for this. So anyway, you're right. I think it's just garbage. I agree with you on this.
And that's the thing, too, because, okay, if it was really that big of a deal, right, if this was really serious, like she got all this stuff, and like you said, she's not taking the SATs exactly. Plus, there's one flipping question. If she was somebody that, you know, you needed to fear, she would have had the whole daggone question. She would have had the whole sheet. She would have had all of them. And
exactly. She
would have
just gave her.
Mhm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have a
she would. She would have gave her the whole thing. That's what the point is.
It really bothers me too. And Donna Brazil, to taint Donna Brazil is like, you know, Mother Teresa of politics, and you're trying to make her look bad. It's just like, I can't
get with it. I know. Well, you know, and I, during the whole primary stuff, I thought Donna Brazil and them was holding too tight to Clinton's. But, again, she was Gore, Clinton Gore kind of stuff, and she's been in the party a long time, so I forgive her. So I'm not saying that I hold anything against her. But she is part of the Democratic Party. But now that she's chair of the Democratic Party, okay, if you want to say that she can't be at CNN because she's chairing it, she's only the temporary chair. So that may be their real reason for wanting her out of there. But they're covering for the Trump people like crazy, which leads to your second part of this conversation is the well, I'll let you go. I mean, I didn't want to lead and just drop into it, but it's the second part of it. Well, it's the second part of it that with Hillary and the email stuff, that nobody's bringing up Donald Trump stuff while they bring up Hillary stuff. So you
right.
have to say with WikiLeaks and them sending out information, they're not. That's not a random thought because they have way too much on Donald Trump to expose. And to say that, oh, yeah, we're just putting hers out first and it's just random, somebody's trying to manipulate it. And Democrats are way too doggone sensitive than opposed to Republicans, because you can drop Donald Trump stuff all day, and the Republicans who were going to vote for him are still going to vote for him. Democrats, I'm surprised that anybody freaking out on this on the Democratic side. They're like, oh, my gosh, there's more emails. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, the fact is, you knew about the email stuff months and years ago. So why is one more dump of emails worrying you? Like, I don't know.
I don't get it either. And, you know, it's not like everybody didn't go through all the stuff that they felt like they had. They're talking about these emails that, okay, so we're going to lose our minds over emails that could have said, well, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? Well, do you want to go to New York? No. Maybe. You want to go to, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
30,000. If you went through all my emails, I was looking at it today. I really have to delete some of my emails. 22,000 emails. So I'm deleting them by the thousand.
Whoa.
And half of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. And, like, half of them will be like, oh, thank you, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, I definitely have about 5,000 in mine. But mine is, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. Yeah. I mean, I get dumped that in junk mail
well,
already.
Maybe next week. You know, it's just foolishness.
Yeah.
So whatever.
So, problem. The problem with the FBI. Yeah, I was just saying the problem with the FBI doing this is that they didn't find anything. They didn't know anything is on there. He was just told that there are emails that may have been generated from the server that's on her computer or on her husband's computer, which she says, I don't know how to get there. I didn't use it, which makes me think, again, on the conspiracy side, I guarantee you, the people who was working on the server stuff put some emails on that computer. This is going to get ugly before it gets better.
You talking about Wiener's computer or Bill's computer?
I'm talking about Wiener's computer. Because his wife says she didn't use his computer, and why would she? If you think about it this way, if she's Hillary's assistant, not only does she have a BlackBerry and all of that other technology, and a tablet probably, she carries a laptop because that's what assistants do. So at what point would she say to her husband, hey, let me use your computer to download and look at some emails? At what point do you think that happened?
Never.
Now, exactly. Now, the only thing that could have happened to download your emails on somebody's laptop is that the Washington Post reported that she may have used his laptop to print some emails. So if I grab somebody's emails randomly, say I didn't have my computer with me and I said, hey, let me print this out to give this to Clinton, which we don't know why Wiener's laptop would be near Clinton, whole nother story. But let's just say she had to print something. If you use a web server, right, if you use there's two ways to get into your mail. One, you can go directly on your own web server and look at all the mail that's there. So you would have to go to an internet browser, www, whatever, mail box or whatever mail, and then the server will pull up. You put your username and password in, and you can see your mail. Now, the only thing that's going to download is what you open up. Otherwise, if you use like Outlook Express or
Lotus Notes kind of stuff. You lose something else. Then it downloads all of that mail off of the server onto your computer, and then you open it up. If it's not her computer, why would she put it in a program to download to his computer if she's never going to look at it again?
Right.
Because you have to watch settings, because there's a setting that says delete from server when you download. So I guarantee you she did not set all of that up on his computer. She probably looked at her mail. If she did, she said she did not use his computer. So even if she borrowed it for a second and did that, it's not going to download all of those messages, which, again, leads me to the conspiracy side of, I wonder if the FBI, in playing in all of this stuff, somebody committed fraud and dumped something on that computer. It's easy to do. Just take a flash drive, take the emails off of the server, put it on that computer.
And they have
which
the
is
computer,
that?
Right? Because
yes, the FBI has custody of the computer.
For this teenage or child pornography or whatever.
Yes, and they had it for months. So they said they knew about the mail on there for weeks, and they just told them the other day, which means they set it up. Now, again, if you know anything about the counterintelligence program where the FBI was planting stories in the newspaper saying Huey P. Newton was fighting against Eldridge Cleaver and all that stuff, you know that they're capable of doing that. They're capable of mass manipulating people. It's what their job is. So, and you wanted to mention the president's comments on the FBI guy today.
Yes, he commented. He was not saying anything before, and I think yesterday on the news, I didn't hear him saying it, but I heard the pundits reporting that the president was not upset with the gentleman from the FBI, and he wasn't saying that he was wrong or anything like that. Today, they heard, you know, they played his voice, they played him speaking, saying that, you know, that he trusts her, and that he wouldn't have had her in the position that she's in if he didn't trust her. And also that if she makes mistakes, she's going to admit to it and do what's necessary to correct it and keep moving. So he did not go as far as to say that he thinks that the guy from the FBI was wrong. He didn't go that far, at least on the clip that I heard. And the pundit said that he would not answer that question.
Well, the part that I see, and I did see him speak when he was being interviewed, he did say it's a longstanding tradition that we don't interfere in the politics, and he would have to question why that information was put out, because it should not have been. And so although he's not critiquing him, the problem is that if he was putting it out because he was fearful that it would leak out of his office, that's his problem with having a leak in his office. The FBI can't control themselves, then that's problematic. When does the government do stuff saying we were scared that somebody in their office was going to tell you, so we had to tell you?
Uh-huh.
And again, if this was President Obama, we know that he did jack squat while he was in office, because with that kind of leaking, they wouldn't have kept his secrets.
No, never.
So, right? So you know the president is squeaky clean. It is the one thing that I keep saying about him, even when he was elected. A black person will probably never be president because he is too clean as a president. Everybody else has more character flaws than that. You can't get white folks in there that clean. So imagine compare the next black person to President Obama. Nobody's going to pass that test.
I know.
You know, so for him, you know, the guy, the FBI director, is at fault here. And so here's how this works. So the Justice Department, the Loretta Lynch, is technically the FBI guy's boss. But the Justice Department sets the tone for the law enforcement folks, which is the FBI. But the FBI is career people. So they're technically not political people. So when you are the police force, those guys have their certain autonomy. Like, so they get to run the department separately. The Justice Department is the person who is who they report to. So just like the show Law and Order, you know, what happens is that, you know, Ice-T and those guys arrest somebody. They go to their boss and say, here's what we want to charge them with. They ask the DA and they say, hey, we got to let them go. We don't have nothing to charge them with. That's Loretta Lynch in the pecking order. They make
right.
They are the people who actually, well, and you know this as an attorney, but I'm just saying this for the audience. So technically in Loretta Lynch's case, she is his boss, but technically as a department and as an investigative unit, they are separate. So she can't fire him. The president can, but she can't. So that's why everybody keeps asking what the president thinks about him.
Right. And what she did, from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, she did tell him not to do that, not to
yes.
release that.
Yes. Well,
he did not.
She no. How it goes is that she told him not to do it, but it came out in wording like the recommendation from the Justice Department is not to do it. So it was technically a recommendation. She didn't order him not to do it because she technically can't.
Yeah, right.
So they
okay.
they run things through. It's like the mayor and the police chief in the DA's office, right? So the DA will have a press conference, although the police department is collecting evidence for the DA. The police chief can say, nope, here's what we're going to say. And the DA sometimes get mad at the police chief. So he's technically the police chief in the DA, which is Loretta Lynch, is looking at him like, we told you not to do that.
Uh-huh.
But he did. And the only person that can fire him again or sanction him is the president. But since he has to go through confirmation, since he has to go through confirmation too, the FBI director has a 10-year term. So he's been there through Obama's whole time. Bush put him there. Which, if I was Obama, I'd be like, you're out, and I'm getting a new FBI director before I get up out of here.
Why didn't he get rid of him before?
He can't. They have 10-year terms. He has to actually do something. So that may have broken some kind of rule. It's a long-standing rule in democracy that you can't do that 6 months. Or not 6 months. I guess it's 60 days. No. So it must be a couple of months before an election. So they don't usually prosecute anybody during election season. Because the problem is that it shatters faith in a democracy. So the government does not like to pick favorites or pick winners in a democracy because the people won't believe. They'll always believe that it's rigged somehow if the government keeps interfering. So if they take out one of the two candidates while the season is going, then you're messing with it. That's why Hillary didn't get prosecuted, probably, right? If they would have took her out early enough in the primary, that would have been fine because they didn't start voting yet. But once they start voting, they are very hesitant in actually messing up the illusion of free and fair elections. And I say illusions laughing. But it's an illusion of a fair, equitable election. And once you lose that, then the conspiracy theories start coming. And that's how you can shut up and that's how you can shut down and break up a democracy. You create that kind of chaotic. Right.
Is that why they're not beginning this? Okay, so what I heard on the radio today was that there is a rape trial that was, or rape, accusations of rape, and a trial that was brought
in. Oh, they're
in
court. They reinstated those charges, so that is in court. The rape trial against Donald Trump.
It started in California, from what I understand, and now it's reinstated in New York.
In New York.
And the trial, but this trial doesn't begin until December 16th.
Right, they set a trial date. Yep.
Yeah. And so how come we don't know anything about this? How come this is
again,
not, I haven't heard it on television at all. I heard it on D.L. Hughley. He's incensed about this.
Wait a minute. You didn't hear it on Esprinet News on Thursday? Because I think I said that when it came to court. I actually monitor. There's an outfit called Courthouse News that you can actually go and look at court cases around the country. So I usually check those before we do the news show. And I remember when that one was reinstated and what the judge ruling was and when it came back. So I remember doing that a few weeks ago.
That I may have missed that. I'm so sorry.
No, yeah, I actually did that one. So he's in court for Trump University. So he's going to have to testify. This time they're going to have to get a disposition from him. But he has to testify for the Trump University lawsuit that's going and the rape case. So you have a candidate that's actually to become president while he has current charges in court. And nobody's mentioned it. Criminal. Now, I'm not saying the Justice Department couldn't say anything. The media is not they are not even touching it. Again, if this was President Obama,
oh please,
they would be in him. And Democrats would have dumped him a long time ago with that nonsense. They'd be like, how are you going to have a rape case against a 14-year-old and now you're running for president and they're not asking you about it on a campaign trail?
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's
you have Donald Trump people. That's why you
I'm
wondered.
Like, who is in the media? Who is doing it? You know, so it's certainly not free enterprise, if you will, when it comes to news.
Yes, but it's part of my point of why I don't really mess with media like that. And I think we as a society have to put those fools in check, right? So when they're complaining that our ratings are down and you guys need to watch the news more, you cannot watch the news and take it literal, because they're leaving out all of this other stuff. I mean, it's one of the things that motivates me to continue to do news is the fact that every time I do news, although it's humorous to me, I think mainstream media is still brainwashing people to a point where it makes people docile. So it's creating sensationalism, giving you fantasy, and making you think about things that you shouldn't even be considering, and the things that you should be looking at, nobody's mentioning them. And so it just kind of makes you feel some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's mainstream media's issue, and that's why you can't trust, whether it's MSNBC, CNN, Fox is not news, so I don't usually count them when I talk about news, or ABC or CBS. Those guys are all adhering to the same thing, and that is maintaining this illusion of a sporting event called a political campaign, you know. Who's up in Iowa? Here's what the polling's saying. They're still playing that game when, you know, 4 million people has already voted in Florida. Now, again, they just came out with the numbers, and they're saying 28% of Republicans voted for Clinton. So what do you think is going to happen in Florida?
Oh, boy.
If that number is that high, 28% of Republicans are voting for Clinton, and then the Democrats are – at high numbers in Florida, what do you think that number is going to look like? So when I watch polling today, they're like, it's a dead heat in Florida. And I'm like, see, right? You're still playing this game because you have to see it all the way out. It has to be a horse race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our daily tracking poll, again, and just my experience in doing campaigns, I don't listen to none of this mess, because technically, if you're talking 2 weeks out, you're pretty much done. If you have to give an impression right now, especially in the last week, there is nothing you can do. You're done. Your only job in the last 2 weeks of any campaign is to get out your own voters. If you're still convincing people to vote for you, you are done.
Mm-hmm.
Your only job right now is to get the people who you know are going to vote for you to the polls. That's where all your resources go. So when you see somebody like Donald Trump out saying, hey, if you've already voted and you want to change your vote, you still have time to do it. They're talking about people who voted absentee.
What?
In some states, I mean, that's his big push.
They're saying go back and get your absentee, because absentee just says that you won't be there on the day of your vote. But you can actually go to the voting booth, ask them to scratch your absentee, and actually vote there, and they will take out your absentee vote. Now, if that's your last play, you ain't got you got no cards. Like, you got nothing. Nobody's ever heard of it, because nobody does that. People vote absentee for a reason. They're out of the country, they're in the military, they're in another state, whatever. People vote absentee for a reason. He's saying that's his big play in some of those states that people have already voted, had early voting. Go back and tell them you want to change your vote. Oh, by the way, ignore my endorsement from the Klan and that rape charge. Like, don't even worry about that. She got more emails. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, well, they're not even Clinton's emails. Her assistant has some emails, so technically, we can assume that they're hers. Like, how do you get that far? So that's what the interesting thing is that they're making a leap from an assistant and her husband's issues to say, see, that's Clinton. That has nothing to do with her. Like, we don't know who our gas station attendant, what he does on a daily. We just go to the gas station, pump gas, and leave. And we're like, you know who that is that you get gas from? It's like, no. Like, they're just an employee. They're just doing a function. Yeah.
But the other thing is that everybody is demanding that this what's his name? Kumu from the FBI, what's his name?
Oh, the FBI guy. I forgot his name. Thanks for making me forget. I just knew it. It does start with a C. Comney? Oh, I can't even think of his name. Okay, I'll have to look it up now. Go ahead. That's FBI guy.
They're insist. You know, so many people are saying, including Mrs. Clinton, give the detail of why you felt like you needed to do that. And I haven't seen that he's done that yet.
Oh, he's not going to do that. He's burying himself too much, so he's going to really be quiet. If there's any time for him to be quiet, it's going to be now. Right, he's a Bush appointee. He was giving information to Congress, which he probably shouldn't have been doing. He shouldn't have made the promise to give it to him, because that's not what investigators do. You don't give it's the reason why FBI is not a political position. It's the reason why they get appointed for 10 years, so that they can go through administrations without bias. And what he did is he gave the Republicans leverage for a political election. So whatever he says now, we know that they're investigating the guy Manafort from Trump's campaign, because he got about $14 million from two Russian billionaires. They know that the Trump campaign had ties to the Kremlin, to Russia. So they were investigating that as well. No, they were investigating it. So they're like, we are not going to talk about it. But they leaked that out. Not that big of a news story, but if he would have said to Congress, yes, we are investigating the ties in Donald Trump. Donald Trump is getting some of the projects that he did internationally, he did with Russians. So they need to find out how close they are with the KGB. They could just be doing that whole little honeypot thing with him. Let's give him a couple of bucks, and then when he gets in the office, we got him. So the FBI has to investigate him. But they're not talking about that, like this made up email thing. The email, see, the problem with the email thing is she broke no laws. The problem is with the server side of where that information is. If it's emails, they don't care if that email server is set in the government side or on Clinton's house or my house. They care that you're giving away classified information. So if there's classified information on her laptop, that's totally different. It had nothing to do with the server. It doesn't mean it even sat on the server, because they actually have the server.
Oh, God.
So, so that's always problematic for the people who are not techs. What happens when you send an email, whether you send it from your laptop
or your phone, it hits the server anyway. So it leaves a copy on the server even as it sends it out. So if you have AT&T or Sprint and you send a text, it hits their server before it goes to your friend's phone. And they have a text, they have a copy of every message that you sent on the server. So if they have
right.
Hillary Clinton's server, they have all the emails that she sent from that laptop, if they're there, on the server.
Right.
It has to be. That's how it works. So they said, oh, yeah, we're going to sift them and then compare them. And then we don't know if there's anything there. We're not saying that it is. But, yeah, but you had to bring that out in the press conference. It could be the
mm-hmm.
exact same duplicates of everything. But,
right.
I suspect that it has something to do with the WikiLeaks dump. They probably put it on a CD drive and put it on that doggone computer. So we don't know if it's all made up, and then they'll blame it because they have Wiener's laptop that it was hers, and so here's what Clinton said. This goes into conspiracy territory all the way around. So,
I'm glad you brought up WikiLeaks again, too, because what is bothering me about this whole WikiLeaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
The United States is saying that this is Russia hacking. But yet still,
yes.
we are going to run our country based on the hacked emails that you said you have. So we are going to hire you, essentially, to hack us and report to, and we're going to report on what you've leaked and then make decisions based on what you've leaked. So essentially, we have given the reins to Russia to control the United States. I don't care what they say is in the WikiLeaks email. I'm not doing anything about it until I see it in, if somebody gives me some evidence here. And I, as a matter of fact, don't even send me anything that they say. Don't even send me anything.
Right.
I don't even want to see.
No, that would be the honorable thing to do. So if it was my media organization, I wouldn't report anything from WikiLeaks.
No.
Because it's
nothing.
Too close. First of all, it's too close to the election. And secondly, we're not letting you use us to actually disrupt this democracy. If they were that smart, Kathleen, then we'd be talking something else. You can put it on the internet all day, but we're not reporting on it. Just like they're not reporting
nope.
on the rape case for the 14-year-old and Donald Trump. Right,
but
they're
not
reporting on that.
You do not get to control the United States. I don't care what's in it.
Yeah, all I know is it looks like nobody's in control. Because if it was a case where people were covering Hillary stuff, I would say, hey, maybe it's benefiting one or the other. But the way it looks to me now, it looks like Donald Trump, he's not just a flawed candidate. His butt is crazy. And Hillary, she's not that great, right? She is status quo. But just like in every democracy, you rather have status quo because you know what it is opposed to getting somebody who's off the rail.
Right.
So we would say that it was rigged to help Hillary if in a big conspiracy theory. It's like, oh, Donald Trump was a plant to help Hillary. No, it can't be because they wouldn't be dogging Hillary out so much. It's a plan to disrupt the democracy. So a part of how
right.
that works is when you create chaos and disruption, you can get more money into the military, so you get more money in the police departments, right? So you don't care if somebody gets shot or killed or whatever because it makes you funnel resources. It's almost like the guy who killed the two police officers the other day. Right, so he is waving a Confederate flag at a football game around some black folks. The police kick him out. He goes to shoot two police officers. They bring that fool in alive, right? Guess what race he was? Because technically, you shoot two police officers in two different locations in cold blood, and you ambush them and shoot them. How are you going to let that dude just turn himself in?
Mm-hmm.
Black people get shot for really silly, stupid stuff, and that guy can literally kill two officers and be like, look, I just got mad, my bad. Like, you know what I mean? We are that's getting old. We're all getting tired of that.
Yeah, so they can get killed for Lucy.
selling Lucy's outside the grocery store.
Oh, right. Right. So, my whole thing, I guess, all I'm saying is that it's interesting to watch, but it's getting old, and the democracy is not as controlled as it was before because it is hanging. It's like a door hanging on its hinges. Like it's about to become unhinged. There's too much weight on it. You have too much deception. You have too much distrust. You have people who are stirring up racial stuff. You got the Klan endorsing Donald Trump. He didn't denounce them for a dang year and a half, but now he's like, oh, yeah, we don't want the endorsement. They're like, we don't care. You are a man. And the reason that they don't care if he needs it or not, they are supporting him. And he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Neither does his son. And, you know, his father is an alleged Klan man. And we know about the racial cases about him saying that he don't want any black people in his apartments. Ray, his father. So we know they got a problem with black folks. So anyway, so to have that much on us, I think that the worry is, especially from the president's point of view, is that all of those people from the Sarah Palin age, from the Tea Party stuff, doing Mitt Romney stuff, all those people who are predicting that it's going to be a race war and it's going to be unhinged, it's because they are trying to create the environment for it.
Right.
Most people ain't thinking about white folks like that. And I always say that in a joking way, but the truth is they don't. It is white folks' obsession about controlling what other people do. So they have issues with black people. So leading us to our Lil Wayne conversation. That we talked about earlier is that Lil Wayne comes out and says that it's white folks that buy hip hop, so he's not taking a side and he don't have interest in that because that's not what his fan base is. It's white folks, but again, he doesn't realize that they're buying him because he's black. So it's your culture that they're buying. So technically, you're a puppet, you're a cartoon to them, but you are never going to be them. So they will pay you to sing and dance is the issue. And he apparently enjoys that. So I guess that's why he's getting blasted around the net these days.
I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. So I didn't mean to jump on that. So, you know, since Loki isn't here to...
It was a perfect segue to that.
Oh, yeah, you know, it kind of ran together. And by the way, I am going to do that news story tomorrow that the KKK official publication backed Donald Trump for president. So I am going to talk about that on the news tomorrow. It just seemed kind of odd.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't hear
you. I was saying I remember when the president was running for office. And he got endorsements from people that he got a lot of endorsements actually from people that, you know, Europeans hated, despised.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Minister Farrakhan, of course. And Minister Farrakhan, I believe, said, I'm not endorsing him because I know what will happen if I do. And, but they wanted him
to smart.
If he complimented him, if he, you know, and I can't remember some of the other people that wanted to endorse him, and he's like, okay, are you going to denounce that endorsement? Are you going to denounce that endorsement? I remember we had that conversation with him so many times, and I just really don't remember hearing that, you know, I think they said, well, what do you think about it? You know, well, if the guy likes me, but I don't know him, and, you know, I didn't ask for his endorsement or whatever, you know, whatever. I don't know what that is. And it's just craziness. And so the bottom line is that this man is desperate for votes. And there is a white supremacy element in this country, you know, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And they vote. So if that endorsement says something to certain people, it's a code language. And so he is going to go ahead and continue to, you know, they're speaking these code words for example, when his son made the comment about the gas chambers, and people were like, what did you realize? Did you, what? And that was, at that point now, Jewish people had an issue. So then
right.
we, yeah, so we have all this code language that's going around, and he's sending a message. And so when you start, and the next thing is the comments about the revolution and all of that stuff. I'm going to start a revolution if Hillary Clinton wins, and let's throw her in jail if she wins. It's, you know, it's all code, like code. They're speaking in code.
Right, and they started getting a little bit more brass than that. You know, they're yelling at the rallies like, what are they saying? Like, Jew America or Ameri-Jew or something, and Trump the B is what they're saying about Clinton. They're like going off the rails. And so nobody is like saying, wait a minute, they're yelling this at your rallies. You're not from the mic saying, hey, no, that's going too far. He's not saying that. He's just stepping back watching them. Again, if
no,
anybody else did that.
They just threw a black guy out of the out of one of his rallies yesterday, I believe it was.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, you know, I was watching Rachel Maddow's show just a little bit. Sometimes I'll thumb, you know, click on those stations for a second. And when I turned on there, they were talking about Yahweh ben Yahweh, and this black separatist death cult is what she called them. And, you know, she talked about the news stories that they had in Florida and whatever happened with those guys and this and that. And I was just damn offended by watching it. And I don't know the details about what happened to him specifically or what happened in Florida in that Florida case. But apparently one of the guys from Yahweh is holding the Blacks for Trump sign. So they were like, why is the Yahweh folks Blacks for Trump? And they'll have their WWW name on the bottom of the thing, and it says Black for Trump, and Trump grabbed their sign and held it up and said, hey, and he said this today, Blacks for Trump, I like that. I like that, Blacks for Trump. He said that from the stage. And so she was kind of making the comparison of, you know, the races and, you know, KKK and now these black racist separatists or black supremacists. And I don't like her tone. And I can tell you this, even there is no equity in the fact that what white supremacy does in talking about KKK, you don't have black people going out and killing white folks because they're white. Even if they want to separate from white people, it is not the same as the fact that white folks want to harm black people. And that is sickening to me.
It is
so
sickening.
So I don't know if there's another word that she should have used or whatever, but her making the comparison like they're just like the Klan is white folks paranoia with black folks anyway.
That's awful.
And they need to get up off of that. Now, again, I don't know the details of it. I don't really know the story about that. I knew some people who were in Yahweh, but I don't know the people in Florida who was in it. Like, so I don't know that story. I can admit that part. But I can say that I don't know anybody from any of the organizations that said, let's go kill white folks. I don't recall that. And I think that's
no.
irresponsible.
Because it didn't happen.
Because it didn't happen. Now, on that note, let's go to phone lines. I think this is Brother Sean from Syracuse. What's up, bro?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. You're all with Kathleen as well. Kathleen, this is
Sean.
Hi,
Kathleen.
How you doing, Brother Sean?
Good. I had to buzz in on this one because I actually seen the show that you were talking about. I saw the show you were talking about with that lady.
Okay.
Rachel, yeah, I see it this evening. And
yeah.
The interesting thing about media is they do a lot of cut and paste, right?
Yeah.
So the guy she was interviewing was a so-called black supremacist, and that was the only guy that they interviewed, but then they showed a crowd of black people holding that sign.
Right.
You know, so what he did was a classic cut and paste to make us think that it was a whole lot of black people that were black supremacists, and like you said,
exactly.
You know, it ain't like you see a whole bunch of black people going around burning crosses on lawns and killing white folks. So that's their classic move on the media. I just wanted to put my 29 cents in, and I'm good.
No, you good. And that's the thing, is that when we watch this stuff, we don't see the programming on both sides of it. So they had to make a black villain out of that. And so they got the one guy, and they were like, yeah, he was indicted, but he was cleared. Well, if he was cleared from any wrongdoing, why are you talking about him, the fact that he's indicted because he's a part of this group that's a black supremacist? Like, she's making up this ghost for white folks to have some fear in. At the same time, they're saying, now he's supporting, he's not the good blacks like the people who are supporting Clinton, he's the bad blacks. That's pretty
and
much
wrong.
What he did, right?
Wrong. When do they ever talk about a person that's being interviewed? When do they ever talk about their rap sheet?
Oh, well, when they black.
That basically, that's it. But they don't ever talk about someone's rap sheet when they're actually interviewing somebody.
Right. Right. And plus he was on like that InfoWars. Have you ever heard of that, Kathleen?
Right. Yes, I heard of that.
Yeah,
no.
You heard of that, Sean?
What's that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. InfoWars is kind of conspiracy theory central for the Fox crowd. Like, so I forgot the guy's name. Do you know his name, Sean?
No, I don't know offhand, no.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. But, yeah, that's where you go for your good conspiracy stuff is InfoWars. And so that's the guy who pretty much Sean Hannity, and they're all competing for the you know, Rothschild, Rockefeller stuff. You know, not saying that any of that stuff is not true. I'm saying that that's the home of that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're interviewing the guy, and so it's kind of like in the middle of their right wing, not liking black folks stuff, they bring a black person on that says, hey, white folks are in this conspiracy and they're evil and they're devils. Not you, white guy, but everybody else is, and they're promoting that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I couldn't see the partnership in it. It didn't, I couldn't call it. It just seemed strange to me, Sean, when I saw it though. And you watched
yeah.
it. I couldn't
yeah.
even watch
yeah, I did.
It.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, it was very weird, but you actually, you know, when you watch stuff like that, you actually look through it. You know,
yeah.
And the media is really mm-hmm. slick about doing stuff like that. And like I said, there's not one person they ever interview where they talk about their rap sheet. So that's just that technology stuff that they use in the media. That's all.
Yeah. Now, and I'm very disappointed with Rachel for that. I don't really like her anyway, but I can tell that was too slick to do that. And so she is not harmless to the bigger picture.
Right.
You know, when people watch that, they're like, oh, I watched Rachel and she cut up Donald Trump and blah, blah, blah. That's still for the benefit of supremacy. And when she did that, it just reminded me of what I was watching.
Right.
You know, exactly. I was going to say it. Kathleen, Jay's not here. Jay might disagree with that. He'd be like, well, I'm not saying all media. You know, people like to run those disclaimers when they're talking about media stuff. So, hey, it's crazy, but I know, like, you know, Sean, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, Sean, by the way, Sean ran executive director of Black Expo, and I can tell you this, as you put together projects like that regionally and you bring in, you know, whether people are you know, in their businesses, no matter what their religion is, you get I don't want to say walks of life. You know, I hate cliches like that. You get all different layers of black folks, right? And when we dealt with that, we didn't we never experienced having black folks have this, oh, I hate white folks. Like, even if they didn't like them, it wasn't in the forefront of anybody's, even at Black Expo. So we took that diverse group of black people, and our focus was not even white folks at all. Wouldn't you say that?
Of course, definitely.
Okay. That, I was just saying that just to say, like, whether it was Yahweh or any group that had religious beliefs, because we had many different people who had businesses there. We don't remember having all of that nonsense. But that's sick that, you know, on a major mainstream, well, that's cable, but that we have people putting that stuff out in the sphere to actually create fear in white folks, like black folks exist to actually do harm to white folks. It helps them kill black people is the problem.
Right.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
yeah, I know.
The people that are saying it, I know they have a mission, but it's just kind of, it's not that different from Lil Wayne in the sense that they're being used. You know, they're necessary for the argument and the defense of the white supremacists to their own. You see? Get them before,
right.
You know, it's birth of a nation. This is exactly what the movie was.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah, Sean,
and if you haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to go too far on there.
I still have to see the movie, so we're going to go far on it when I see it.
Yes, we
Sean.
Will.
Yeah. I know Sean was saying something. Did he put himself on mute?
No, I was going to ask you, did you, the minister was on YouTube with that guy that is on InfoWars?
Yes,
he interviewed
that's the guy.
He interviewed the minister a couple months ago.
Okay. Yeah, I know that the minister has his last name Jones, something Jones. It'll hit me probably as soon as we end the show. No, it's, what is it? Worlds with somebody Jones. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, I know he did interview the minister, and there is something to be said about, again, I know those guys at InfoWars, you know, they go through alien abduction stuff. Like, they go through everything
right.
over there. So
right.
I'm not, again, I can't question it. I'm not saying whether something is true or false that they're saying. I'm just saying that's the conspiracy channel. So for them, it's just publicity for them. I think they'll entertain pretty much anything just to get people to hear the other conspiracy stuff that they have.
Right.
You know, but when I think about like Kathleen said, when we start talking about information, we can look back at the Reverend Wright stuff for President Obama, and they made him look like he just was off the rails. You know, can you imagine what they do to somebody who has a criminal record if they can bring that up on TV, to your point? They're going to rattle off criminal allegations all day.
Oh, yeah, they will.
But I can't remember how long Tim the Tool Man Taylor stayed in jail for trafficking cocaine, but his butt is still on TV. You know what I mean? Like,
what
that dude.
Hey, yeah,
the
that
guy
again?
Who. Remember the guy who had to show Home Improvement? I forgot his name. It was called The Tool.
No, I remember
the
show. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a show now called Last Man Standing, and he's still on TV. So after he did his six years of what for drug trafficking, he's on there bashing the president like he don't have a record. Like, he's like, well, the world is going to heck because Obama and blah blah blah. Like, he's a conservative, but it's like, wait a minute, you let all these criminals go on and bash the dude who don't have a record. But again, they like to normalize their people, and I don't think we do a good job of forgiving our folks, where it, with them, they, it's just swept under the rug. And you know what it reminds me of? Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Which guy actually did time? The guy that was the lead actor or the guy with the beard?
No, not the beard. The guy, the lead actor.
He did time?
He did about 6 years. He was a big cocaine trafficker.
I never heard about that.
Oh, yeah. You can. They actually still have his mugshot online.
That's the point, Sean.
That's the point.
You've never heard about that. That's the point exactly.
You've never heard any interview when they had him on there saying, how does it feel? Are you rehabilitated from your earlier crimes? They don't say that. But every time Jay-Z has something on, they go former crack dealer Jay-Z. Like, they do that all day with him. They don't do that with that dude. Or Charlie Sheen or Rob Lowe. They don't do that with them dudes. But for us,
or Mel
saying,
Gibson and his DWIs and all the other stuff that he had going on. Come on now, all those guys. Even Rush Limbaugh, remember him with all his drugs?
Yeah. He got his illegal alien housekeeper to get drugs for him. So she got deported. I don't know if she got deported, but she got caught because he said he had an addiction. So he was getting illegal drugs, but he was sending out the illegal alien woman who worked for him as he go on the radio talking about illegal aliens all day. That's Rush Limbaugh.
Yep.
But that's the point. Like, that dude still get millions of dollars for being on the radio bashing everybody.
Millions.
He should be in jail for that, for having illegal aliens in the house.
Yes. And nobody
as
did
much
anything
as
about that.
As much as he complains about it. So, you know,
nobody
like
did
I said.
Anything that.
Yeah. Like I said, we're not forgiving on our side. But on their side, it's like these kids who, you know, and I've done these news stories, but there's another couple that got caught doing heroin in the bathroom with their kids. They were at an amusement park, and they were young. I think they were in their late 20s or early 30s, doing heroin with the kids in the bathroom. Just got arrested last week. And they're like, oh, it's an epidemic, and we got the antidote. It's a Doug O'Shea. But I'm like, man, black people did heroin, they'd be like, send their butt to jail. That's how it was in the 70s.
They would go to jail. The kids would be in foster care permanently. They'd lose parental rights, and just keep going right on down the line.
Oh, yeah. And they'd be charged
right
with everything from
every
drug possession to child neglect.
And,
yep, child endangerment. But these guys, it's like, let's get them help.
Yeah. There was another couple that they had almost OD'd on heroin in their car, and they had two toddlers in the back seat, and the cops found them. You remember that? Okay.
Yep. No, that happened twice, though. There was the grandmother and her boyfriend had a toddler in the back. Then there was that couple that had two kids in the back, and then there was another couple that had another kid in the back, and that was on the same week. So that's what this is turning into, is that we need to show a little bit more sympathy towards their folks who got drug problems. I'm pointing that out for the media disparity. That's all. Not for a fact, but just for the disparity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now,
right
now, okay.
We send the football player to jail for messing with some dogs. But the one that beat his wife, he gets paid in a one game suspension.
Yes. Yeah. The guy who beat his wife for about 2 years. That's the big difference. The black guy and the football player who got suspended and got, I don't know if he got lifetime ban. That was over one incident with his wife. The white guy said he's been beating her for over 2 years and she's been reporting it. They haven't done anything. So he got suspended one game with pay. And then everybody started complaining and then they let him go.
But he was going to get suspended one game with pay, and he beat her for 2 years. And most of the black folks, they're all over an incident. It's like, oh, this one was caught on camera, that incident happened. But they're not, and I mean, that's abuse nonetheless. But I'm saying he actually did that for 2 years that she was still trying to get help for, and they wouldn't help him. And he only got suspended. I mean, he got suspended with pay. Now,
yeah,
Kathleen, I know.
It's criminal activity, you know. But, and I don't know, it just really bugs me with this whole Michael Vick with the dog. But anyway, I like your analogy better because it's apples and apples, right? So I'm like with apples and bananas over here, but still.
Oh, with the Michael Vick? No, I'm with you with the
yes.
Michael Vick.
Yes.
Michael Vick, they're not calling him for Dancing with the Stars like they did Ryan Lochte or that dude Billy Bush for egging on Donald Trump and then telling the girl, oh, aren't you going to give him a hug? She knew that guy was going to fill her up. Billy Bush instigated that from happening. But next thing you know, ABC calls and is like, hey, you want to be on Dancing with the Stars? They don't care. Right. He knew he was going to molest her, but he helped him. He was his wingman.
The inequity. And we're mm-hmm. seeing it, you know, even if, just going back to the situation with Hillary versus that other guy, you know, tremendous inequities at the last minute. And so I would like to know what you think about the Koch brothers, who people always talk so much about in elections. They haven't said very much about them in this particular election. Well, the only thing I heard was lately that they are skipping over the nominee and funding the down-ballot candidate to try and promote the, you know, the Republican races in the various states and so forth so they can keep control of the House and the Senate, but that they're, you know, just sidestepping the fundraisers or funding the campaign for the nominee. Other than that,
right.
There hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, they would always dominate the headline in previous elections.
Right, because I think now this will be word on the street. I guess the word on the street on this one is more like rich people fund campaigns to keep politicians in their pocket. But when you have a politician who is rich, he is trying to be the king of other rich people, and they weren't having that. So technically, Donald Trump is going to be hard to control even if you have money because he never was in their club. Donald Trump doesn't have money like that. He doesn't have Koch money or Warren Buffett money or even Bloomberg money. He don't have that kind of money. And that's a part of the psyche of Donald Trump is that he resents the fact that they don't speak about him in the tone that they speak to about really rich guys with. He's like, I'm a billionaire. So he keeps saying that, but they know he has probably a few hundred million, but they know that he's not up there. So he's constantly fighting that. So the billionaires won't really give him money, although they don't like her. They're going to make sure they try to keep the state houses, try to keep Congress. And so the Republicans usually do have a plan like that. That's why we have all of these bad laws across the country that end up having to go to Supreme Court because the Republicans did such a good job of infiltrating Florida, making their legislature Republican, and Wisconsin and all these other places that you can get, you know, restrict their voter ID laws passed. And you can do it at the state level. And then the federal only comes in if you take them to court. So they've done a really good job of doing that in the past, and they're probably doing that now. And by the way, if you don't know who the Koch brothers are, Koch brothers are, they actually own what's all up like paper products and plastics. So you don't know what they own, but if you use Brawny paper towel or Dixie cups, and all that, Koch brothers own those companies. They make the products for those. So there's a lot of stuff you have to boycott for them, like just the regular generic plastic forks that you get at the dollar store, Koch brothers, or the Koch brothers.
Coke industry that does that stuff.
Right.
So it's hard to break them because people get stuff out of the dollar store. And we don't know all the products that they have. But they're out there.
So you're saying that they're not funding him, because they can't control him, but they can control the down ballot.
He can't win.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that's a combination of both. He can't win, and he's probably not their favorite. It's not that he's going to break them. Donald Trump's going to make it easier for anybody who has money. But they're watching the writing on the wall. So you can't mirror yourself to that guy because he's going to go down in flames. And if you don't want the whole party to go down in flames, you can't hitch your wagon to him. So those guys are funding people down ballot so that they can at least try to keep Congress and keep, you know, the state houses and win some of the state races. But they've been doing that in the past. That's what they do. They fund a lot of races in off-year elections. So non-presidential elections, it's why we have so many Republican governors. They always get a lot of funding during off-year elections, where Democrats don't pay attention until it's a presidential.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, that's a little...
We really need to stop that. But anyway, I don't know if Sean is still with us or not, but we're running up on time, so I want to make sure we get a chance to talk. But we got Donna Brazil, we got the email, and a whole lot more stuff. We thought we didn't have anything to talk about.
No, I was just going to say this to Sean, because Sean is like me on this, that Kathleen warned me, Sean, that this is going to be a little gossipy, the last segment. So if you want to jump in, cool. If you don't, that's cool too. So your mic is still open in case you want to comment on this.
Okay.
I'm going to probably – what'd you say?
I said okay.
Okay. So I'm going to let Kathleen start this off because, Kathleen, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yes,
you
I want do.
To talk about the Prince and Harry so- stuff. Okay.
Yes, and I don't think it's really it could be seen as gossipy, but it could also be seen as something very important.
Okay. No. So, I'm just saying, like, as guys, just because it's the Royals, Sean and I wouldn't talk about it, but you and I talked about it, so I know I'm going to have something to say. I was just giving Sean some room to not say anything if he didn't want to. Go ahead.
Right. So essentially what – and the story is – that Prince Harry has a relationship, you know, so of course that makes news on morning shows and all that other kind of stuff. But the news for us that brings it to this show is that the person that he's dating is a black woman. So, I was like, oh my gosh, did anybody call the Queen? Let's find out what's happening over there. How is the Queen? Has anybody spoken to her lately? But Twitter has gone, you know, Twitter has really gone bananas about this. You know, the one comment that I read that really made me just laugh so hard was the person who wrote it in patois and saying basically, Prince Harry is a black girl.
No, God.
So, but Meghan Markle, the actress from Suits, is has been seen with Prince Harry, and the news and the newspapers and all are reporting that Prince Harry is now dating this Meghan Markle, who is black. So I thought that it was it hit the black radio stations and all that stuff saying Prince Harry dating a black girl. I don't think it's ever. Let me not say that. I was going to say, I haven't heard of such before, but I am sure it has happened. We just haven't heard about it. So now this is, a rather interesting thing going around on black media that Prince Harry is dating a black woman.
Oh, okay. So... All right, so I'm back on my Deal or No Deal because, you know, Meghan was on Deal or No Deal. She was case number 24. That was my basketball number at one of the teams I played for. That's why I always I knew it was a number that I could relate to. That's why I knew she was on Deal or No Deal. So I thought it was like 9 or something. Like my birthday is in September, so I thought it was 9, but it's not that. It is actually 24. Megan was. So yeah, she was on Deal or No Deal. And for the record, okay. So while Kathleen is going through that, I'm no big Megan fan. I did not know that she was black. She's a biracial child. Her mom's black. Her father's white. And you really couldn't tell. I never watched Suits, but I don't think you really could tell. So it probably was a surprise in the queen.
Couldn't tell not on Suits. But the pictures that I've seen of her lately, because, you know, I did go online and start looking. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, she has a moment
of
looking.
You really can't tell.
Yeah, you really can't tell. But, again, if we go into European history and Britain, there's black people in their chain someplace that they don't talk about. So I think that that's a part of them having a little bit of diversity in their gene pool. I would not doubt that the queen would be like, hey, we having fertility issues up in this piece, so technically it's okay. That would be my take on that, but I'm not really down with this, but I never thought that she was black anyway, so it ain't that big of a deal. And she's not that cute to me. She's a pretty girl. She has a model, though.
That's
what you mean? What? I don't think
she's
that cute.
What does that have to do with anything?
No. I met the whole thing. Like, she's not that cute. Like, it wasn't that. I don't know who she is. Like, it wasn't like I'm like, we missing somebody. I don't have a race issue with them. She could, you know what I mean? You could date whoever you want to. If you're in an interracial thing, that's fine. But for me, it is not like I feel like she should stay within a race. She's biracial. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? I don't have a. When I said cute initially, what I meant by cute is the whole thing wasn't that cute to me. Like, she's not that cute to me. It's not that whole. It's not like I'm protective of her. It ain't like it's Gabrielle Union. Like, I wouldn't say, hey, Gabrielle, you know, I know Zoe Saldana is gone. I'll have to call Finesse about that. But, like, you know, or Stacey Dash, I know she's gone. Like, whatever. So it ain't that cute. The situation ain't cute. And it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I don't think anything of it. See, again, that's why you can't ask guys this. See, if you and Ronnie was here, it would be more of an entertaining show. I don't really have too much to say about it. I know. Kathleen was about to get offended on me, Sean. I just had to wind that back a little bit. Kathleen was like, what you mean she ain't that cute? She's not. I wouldn't date her. I can say that.
Why is it that when we're talking about women, it will always come down to
because I had to digress to that.
Look,
I can tell you why.
Or not you date her. What does that?
I can tell you why. Because I had to digress because I had nothing else. I had to digress on that and go, she's cute. Like, you know, I like her. She's okay, but. I'm not a fan of hers or his, so it wasn't, and I have no opinion on it. If we're talking about Pam Grier, that'd be a whole nother show. Just thought I'd throw that out there. There'd be some jealousy in my words, is all I'm saying. There's no picking a side on this. There's no winner or loser for me in this. That's all.
Okay, so the reason that I brought it up was because of the whole huge cultural dynamic. Now, I had this conversation earlier with another black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came up for us when we talked about this was the fact that as black women, we often feel estranged because when we talk about black men, often the conversation is, you know, black men, when they and you know, I'll do my disclaimer that I know you hate Jerome. Not all black men, but when we talk about...
Yes, I do. Do very much. Don't like that.
You
okay,
know,
go
but,
ahead.
So the conversation, rumor has it, that when black men become very successful, they get wealthy, they're out in the world, if you will, they will marry white, or they'll marry Asian, or they'll marry any other race, but oftentimes black women are left behind. And so when you see the numbers also of black women who want to be married have never been, want to be in relationships have never been, single mothers, all this other kind of stuff, the thought is, even amongst black women ourselves, is that, you know, relationships are often very hard to come by. And with all this interracial mix, it doesn't happen for black women. So black men will marry white, Asian, Indian, Brazil, this, that, the other. But pretty much black women will marry black men, because Asian men aren't really running to knock. White guys are not really running to knock. You know, that just is not the thing for black women. And so when we talked about that, we were saying, okay, now it is with the change in opinion towards Michelle Obama since she's been in the White House. They started out with her as the, you know, claiming her to be the angry black woman and all that stuff that New Yorker cover and all that horrible thing. And then now she is America's darling. It has shifted. It feels like things are starting to shift for black women. Not saying that black women are now going to be dating all other kinds of races. I'm not saying that. But seems like more than ever it is black woman's time. And so that was one of the conversations that arose out of this discussion by nature of discussing who Prince Harry is, and that he is looking at a black woman. So it had a very big significant meaning for us as black women. So that's what I wanted to offer. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but that it was just a rather powerful discussion.
Well, you know, I got nothing without...
Even with Black Girls Rock and, you know, that show that Black Girls Rock and so forth, and more black actresses, Viola Davis, Shonda Rhimes, Kerry Washington on Scandal, it just feels like, oh, there's some upcomings now for black women.
You know, and so I know this is perspective side of it, but it seemed to me white folks always like black women. I think that's a part of the issue of hating them for white folks, because they felt they couldn't get them. And I think that as fluent and as bilingual as black women can tend to be, you know, college-educated women being in positions where there's no black men, I think there's just like it was eventually going to be open season. I think white men always like black women. They just couldn't get at them. And I think it's white folks. I think there's black women who are bending their minds saying, oh, yeah, there are viable options. I'm not going to go in this because this won't lead me to a good place, but it is not something that I think is really good. So, but it is something that I think that perception-wise, that it looks like that people want to date black women. I mean, I remember when Paul Ryan, as vice president or running with Mitt Romney, brought a picture of his old black girlfriend out from college. I'm like, that dude had a black girlfriend? I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? So I don't think it's nothing new. Seeing what was his name? John Boehner's son married a black girl. I don't think this is nothing new. I just think that the problem is that they always had a desire for black women. Black women are not protecting themselves because they think that black men are not fit. So I think there is another psyche thing that's playing in on us as a community. But again, this will be a whole nother show. This wouldn't – luckily, we're not doing black-on-black crime because we would actually have a different perspective on this. And again, this is why, Brother Sean, I'm saying you can be quiet on this one because I know
that Kathleen would probably go, why do y'all see the world like you do? And but at the same time,
Sean, Jerome's only talking to me because he has to. Otherwise,
exactly. That's pretty much the bottom line.
Sean, that's it.
Hey,
and then Jerome's like, okay, when is this one going to be over?
No. Hey, I would have hit the outro music a while ago. But here's how this goes. If Loki was here, we often hit topics like this, right? So if Loki was here, Loki would say the same thing. It's pretty much the same that we've noticed, right? So we've noticed through our walk that this is all, it's always been like that. White men don't have parameters on who they sleep with sometimes. Like, that's pretty much the nature of being that doggone free to feel like you can do anything you want. They always, you know, from my experience, I think that white men don't think that black women are options to them. And once black women become options to them, then I think it's, I don't think anything of it. Matter of fact, on that note, I am going to hit the outro music. I got nothing. All right, Kathleen, you up? You see how quick I was going to go to the outro on that? No, did I lose Kathleen? Okay. Okay.
Well, I'm here.
I thought I lost you. What'd you say?
No, I didn't hear. I'm here.
Oh, if you're here, maybe you might hear this. There's
I'm
outro
here.
Music in it. And I use Esprit Net News outro music. No, actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to.
That's really getting over.
No. That was gonna give me a long segue. I'll use Stir It Up. Stir It Up segue music is a outro is a whole lot shorter. So on that note, this is what we gonna do for Stir It Up, because we gonna have to talk about this some other time. I personally want to thank Brother Sean for checking in and hanging out. Thanks, Sean,
absolutely,
for hanging.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. Good show. Good show.
Hey, you gotta hang out a little bit more often, bro.
All right, I'll do that, man.
All right, and Kathleen, we'll see you again next week on Stir It Up, and I'll try not to bring this subject back up so that I don't have to curse out.
So everybody vote.
There you go. All right, new president time. All right, we'll see you again next week.
New president-elect, sorry. President Obama still has another month and a few days left.
I know, don't be trying to run him out.
That's right.
All right.
Good night.
See you next week. All right.